This world is under the power of the evil one, according to the word of God. But God has a chosen people within this world, and you're it. And every born-again believer here and around the world is a part of God's kingdom. We are the Lord's special people called to show the world his goodness and his power. One verse says that we are here to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness. He said that we are the light of the world. And whether we like it or not, the church, you and me, is the only plan that God has to win this world over to himself. We're it, and we need to know we're it and know who we are and know our authority and be about the master's business and not live in fear but live with great confidence, knowing he's got angels watching over us. We need to understand the evil world we live in. It is a dangerous place. The devil may have a plan to try to kill you with a car wreck before the day is over. But you can pray and ask God before you get in that car to give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of our ways, and he'll do it. There is that special verse in Psalm 91 that says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And you really believe that God has angels watching over you. You see, angels are watching over you right now. Well, you'll never know how many times you're almost killed in a car wreck until you get to heaven. But God is protecting you and watching over you anyway. But you need to know your authority, because there's times when you have to take that authority. There is a dark side. If you've been to very many movies, you know there's a dark side. They use the dark side a lot of times as a part of their movie, the domain of darkness, which is ruled over by the evil prince. A lot of movies are based on good and evil. Can you say that's the truth? 1 John 5:19, we know positively that we are of God. Do you know positively that you're born again? Do you know absolutely that you know Jesus Christ? If you do, you have great promises, and one of them is, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, to all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 1 John 5:19, we know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. Do you believe that? The whole world is under the power of the evil one. That's why so many bad things happen. And the reason bad things don't happen to us sometimes as happens to other people is because we got angels watching over us. You see, we know positively that we have been transferred. We are now the people of God, transferred to his kingdom, but everyone around us is under the power and deception of the evil one. That's why you see so many people getting shot, having all these horrible wrecks, people getting killed. It's an evil, demonized world. Bad things are happening all around us. But we have been given favor from the Lord as his believers, and if we'll believe him, he will protect us. The danger is you see all these bad things happening to other people, and then the devil will tell you, well, you're next. Don't allow him to tell you you're next, because it says very plainly that he's got his angels watching over you to protect you. Job chapter 1, verse 8, the book of Job was written to reveal the source of evil and the source of good. But people read it, they come away a lot of times with the wrong conclusion. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear you for nothing? Verse 10, have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. You see, God has blessed me and you in many ways, just like he was blessing Job. But the Lord says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not God. And I'm reading the scriptures, not trying to really explain Job, but just to show you why Job had problems, because that's the purpose of the book. He had problems because the devil's attacking him. He was a righteous man. And I have another message I preach on Job, and the truth is he did have some problems. You can be righteous and still operate in a spirit of fear. He had a spirit of fear. He said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. Let me know if you fear something long enough, bad enough, it'll happen to you. Sometimes it's like fear attracts a problem. And Job had some bad attitudes and stuff that needed to be corrected. And the Lord confronted him and rebuked him. If you read the whole book, And Job said, I repent. Well, if he's totally perfect, why did he repent? So it may be that he had done some things like you and me that opened the door to the devil, but it was the devil that did it. However you explain it, that's what I want you to see. Because of Jesus, we know that Satan steals, kills, and destroys. Job did not have a relationship with God like we do. He had no knowledge of Satan. He lived before the old covenant, let alone the new. He didn't know there was a devil. And like Abraham, Abraham lived about the same time, according to Bible scholars. He was a man of faith, not a man of fear, and he lived in victory. Everything he touched seemed to be blessed. Job had a whole different story. His whole world fell apart, I believe partly because he allowed fear to dominate him. But he didn't have a book telling him not to fear. We have a book now, the Bible, that over and over and over again says, fear not. And it says, do not be deceived. Can you say amen? Over and over. So we live under a different covenant, and we have the truth of God's word. We're born again believers, and we have authority that Job didn't know anything about. And people say, well, I'm just another Job. I'm just another Job. Well, if you're not another Job, do what Job did. Repent, get healed and delivered, and be restored double. And that's the thrill of that story is he went through 6 months of trial, and you will go through some difficult times in this life. I certainly have been through some difficult times. But Job, he repented, got things right with God. God healed him, restored him to health, and he doubled everything he lost. That's the thing we need to emphasize. Satan caused the problem, but God blessed him and redeemed him out of it and restored everything the devil has stolen. So the moral of this story is that there is a source of good and a source of evil. God is not the problem. Why is that important? For years, I knew God called me to preach when I was 12 years old. But I had tonsillitis, and it was terrible. I had a fever so high, the doctor said it could have caused brain damage, but I don't see any evidence of it. Don't be pointing it out, please. Then they took my tonsils out, and then it went to strep throat. I knew I was called to preach, but I had this problem. When God gave me the scripture on healing and began to heal me, I began to realize I have authority over strep throat. I don't have to be sick all winter long as I used to be. And when God began to give me these revelations on healing and my authority over demons and devils and my authority over spirits of infirmity and sickness and poverty, when he began to show me that and I began to take my authority, I haven't missed preaching for 47 years because of sickness of any kind. Why? Because God called me to preach, and he doesn't want the devil to be able to shut me down with strep throat. Somebody say amen. Are you getting the message? No matter what the devil is using against you, you have authority over the enemy, and you can win, and you can be successful at what you do. And that's what happened to Job. He went through some difficult times, but he didn't stay down. He got back up. He repented. He apologized to God. God said to him, are you blaming me for what you've done? Are you discrediting me for what you have done? And most of us have problems because we caused them. We opened the door to the devil by doing things we know we shouldn't have done. Job chapter 1 verse 11, Satan says, put forth your hand and now, stretch forth your hand now and touch all that he has, he will surely curse you to your face. The devil said, if you do not bless him, he'll curse you to your face. If you have problems and things go wrong and you, let's say, lose everything, are you going to blame God or are you going to serve God anyway? That's part of this story. No matter what happens to me, I made up my mind at 15 years old. Called to preach at 12. I took a year off for bad behavior. Then I dedicated my life to the Lord, got down by the bed, and I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you from this day forward if it kills me. And a few times I thought it's going to, but if it does, it does. And God wants to know, are you going to serve him if you lose everything? See, if you go ahead and make that commitment, get that settled, then you won't have to lose everything. I say, if you go ahead and get that settled, you won't have to worry about losing everything because God already knows you'll serve him if you lose everything. And God did not do this to Job. Satan says, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Did God do it? No, he didn't. But he allowed Satan to. You say, well, see there, he allowed Satan to do it. Do you not understand he allows you to live in a demonized world? We all take some licks along the way. But that's why the Lord gave us authority. Jesus said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions of all the prowl of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He knows we live in a demonized world. That's why he's given us authority and power. So God did not do this. I've had a lot of attacks on my life. God never did it. Here's the problem. If I believe, as I started to say a while ago, if I believe that God put strep throat on me, then I just have to accept it, because I'll accept anything God puts on me. And that's why I had strep throat and couldn't speak most of the winter. I wasn't in a preaching position, but I was in an associate pastor position. And I was doing all these things, but I didn't have to preach, so it wasn't that big a deal. And so when I really began to start preaching, then I had to receive a miracle and get healed of that strep throat. And the devil is using that to shut me up. Can you say amen? But when God gave me a revelation, it was God's will to heal me and that I had authority over it, he began to heal me. Verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in his behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Where'd he go? He went about doing good. No, he went about doing evil. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He left Job for a few minutes to go and attack someone else. Verse 13. Now, on that day, when his sons and daughters... Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. Now listen to all this. See if you've ever had a day like this. Verse 14, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 16, while he was still speaking, another one came and said, the fire of God, probably lightning of some sort, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Notice that after each of these tragedies, the devil spared one person to go and give Job the bad news. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Each time one person was spared to go give the bad news. While he was still speaking, look at this, one thing after another. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. How many can say that's a bad day? He lost everything he had in one day. Will you serve God if that happens to you? See, I got mine made up. It doesn't matter. I'm going to serve God no matter what happens. But if I don't know that there's an evil force, I'll just let it run all over me. I have to know that Satan's real, and then I've been given authority. Strep throat. I had to learn I have authority over that. In the first service, just a little while ago, when I started preaching this, the devil literally attacked my throat in front of everybody, and I lost my voice for a second or two. I rebuked it in front of everyone, and it left, and I finished the sermon. I'm telling you, Satan is real. He hates this message. He hates you because you serve God. Jesus said, They hated me before they hated you. But if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Why? Because you're serving God. There's two kingdoms. In Satan's kingdom, he has people enslaved. And he wants to get you and me enslaved by some deception, some lie. And one of the biggest ones that he proclaims is that there's not a devil. Can you imagine the devil going around telling everybody there's no devil? Why? Because he knows if you are wise to him and you know you have authority over him, you're going to shut him down. Just like in the first service, I shut him down. You're not shutting me up, devil, because God has given me this message and I'm going to preach it no matter what. So this is what Jesus meant when he said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It was Satan that did all those things to Job. And you say, well, God allowed it, but he allows me to have to deal with strep throat too. Can you say amen? He still tries to use that to steal my throat after all these years, but I have not missed preaching one time in 47 years because of sickness, because God showed me I have authority over spirits of infirmity, sickness and disease, and strep throat. So Job had some things that he had to repent of. And he told the Lord, that God rebuked him. If he was perfect, why did God rebuke him? And then Job said, I repent. If Job was perfect, why did he repent? He had some things in his life. Listen, you can be righteous by the blood of Christ and still have some things in your life that's causing you problems. And you need to repent of those and make it right with God. And when he did, when Job repented, God healed him, restored him 100%. And he not only got back everything the devil stole, but God doubled it. If you'll stay true to God, no matter how bad it is, God will pull you out some way and make a way out and bless you. In Luke chapter 13, verse 1, you know, they're just plain accidents. We live in a world where bad things happen. They just happen. And if you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, you wind up dead. Now, this is Jesus, Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. They were making a sacrifice, and Pilate had them killed. And their blood flowed in with the animal's blood. In verse 2, Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans, listen, were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans? Because they suffered these things. And a lot of times that's what we think. If something bad happened to somebody, we think, well, they must have done something very wicked, very evil, and God has brought judgment on them. Well, that can happen, but a lot of times that's not what it is at all. It's just the world we live in. Bad things happen. Evil things happen. Evil people do evil things. And do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. Jesus said this didn't happen because they're so wicked. It was just an accident. That's what he's saying. You just live in a demonized world, bad things can happen. And insurance company, if lightning strikes your house and burns it to the ground, they will say it's an act of God. But it's not an act of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says plainly that the earth was cursed. There was no thorns and thistles to chop out of your garden until they sinned. And when they did, of course, can't blame them. If they hadn't sinned, we would have. Somebody say amen. And a curse came on this world. That's why you have thunderstorms and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and things that destroy people and their homes. It's because this world is under a curse. Good news, Jesus came to redeem us, to create in us a whole new person, a whole new personality, to change us and transform us, to redeem us from the old slave master's authority and power, and to give us authority to walk in victory in this demonized world. Don and I have been greatly blessed all of our lives because we have learned if you serve God, he gives angels charge over you to protect you and keep you, and he'll bless you and favor you in ways you won't even know until you get to heaven. There's been many times I've had bad situations where God just delivered me. I didn't mean to tell it first service, but I wound up telling it. And things like this, I've seen God work miracles for me, and all I was doing is just doing my thing, and the Lord protected me. I was driving the kids to school one morning years ago. They're in their 40s now, so that's a long time ago. And that road was very icy. And I'm going down. It's a narrow road, no place to go but the ditch, and or stay in your lane. This car slid over in front of me, and his headlight went through my headlight on the left side. There wasn't a scratch on the car, nothing. I've had many things like that happen. And you may have had things like that happen too. You just discounted it. But it was God. He's got his angels watching over you, protecting you. I've had all kind of things like that happen. And a couple of Sundays ago, Betty Barnes, Chuck's wife. Is Chuck still in here? He'll get mad at me for using her name. Roberta, that's right, Roberta. I've known her for 40 years. But I got her name mixed up on my tongue. But she came up to me and she said, that reminded me. She said, a few years ago, I was driving and this car slid over in front of me and that car just passed right through me. Not a scratch on the car. You say, that's totally impossible. That's called God. And we live in a demonized world. And all I'm trying to tell you is you better serve God. If you serve God, he'll protect you. Look at all the people who have been murdered in the United States just in the last few years. You could be next. People are evil. But you're not going to be next because you serve God. And Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You need to believe here, believing if you don't already, the angels are watching over you. Psalm 91 says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You can say amen anytime now. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus said, I tell you no, they weren't any worse than the other sinners. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. We need to repent, turn away from our sins. Repent means to turn away from, turn to God, allow the Holy Spirit to transfer us into the kingdom of God and serve him all the days of our life. And he says you will perish if you don't do that. So when we make a commitment to him, he's promised to watch over us and protect us. Now, when it comes your time to die, you're still going to go. Can you say amen? It's appointed unto man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. So every one of us is going to die, but I believe that we can live healthy and be blessed until it's our time if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at all the things that St. Paul went through. And people talk about that even today, how he was stoned, went through shipwreck, a snake bit him, you know, one thing after another. And he made a statement that God was protecting him and keeping him. And then when he was finished with his mission, he says, I finished the course. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And when he said that, then they were able to chop his head off. But no matter what they did, they couldn't kill him until he said it's finished. Until God is finished with you, or you have finished the projects that God has given you to finish, then the Lord will protect you and keep you until those are done if you're serving him. Amen. But Jesus said, according to your faith, you need to believe the Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. There's another one here. Okay, verse 4. Are those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? This big old tower just fell over and killed 18 people. Just like today, you know, you hear these apartments, the footers falling and the thing falling on people and kill people. Tornadoes all across the South, especially killing people. And through, oh, my God, look at it. That's the world we live in. We live under a curse. But if we trust him, he will protect us. And if our house does get blown away, he'll give us another one. Can you say amen? It pays. There's the scripture that says that godliness is profitable. I've been greatly blessed because I serve the Lord. If you serve God, you're going to miss out on all the blessings and all the good things in life. That's not true. You're going to miss out on them if you live for the devil and get killed. Okay. Are those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. See, our world is under the power of the evil one. The Bible says that plainly. If we want God's blessings and protection, we must repent and serve the Lord. Somebody say amen. The baby dies, people say, well, God killed the baby. There's a time appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. But the devil comes to steal and kill little babies. Let me tell you a story that illustrates this. And I hadn't really planned to tell it, but told it in the first story. Sabrina, her second daughter, was born with a major heart condition. We just started this church, been here 2 years, didn't even have a building, meeting in the Ramada Inn, and now we had to face that. I'm telling you, the devil can attack anybody. But here's something you need to know. The Lord warned me. I had a no-so caution in me that something was wrong with that baby. And instead of praying it through, I said, well, I'm just going to believe God. That's not good enough. We need to pray until we get prayed through and know that God has changed that thing, whatever it is. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't believe that, but it's true. And when God shows you that the devil's up to something, you need to pray until you get victory over it. I didn't do that. She was born with a major heart condition because I didn't take the caution and pray through. How do I know that? Because the first daughter, born 2 or 3 years before her, I felt the same thing and prayed it through, and she's born healthy. After her, we had a son, and I had the same caution. The Lord was warning me, something's wrong. And I prayed it through, and he was born healthy. Sabrina, I didn't do that, and she was born with a major heart condition. And the Sunday that she was born Sunday afternoon. That Sunday morning, we could meet in the Ramada Inn, and we had to meet in a theater. It was across the street there at West Ham Mall. They have since torn it down. Matter of fact, they've torn down the Ramada Inn, too. But they have torn that theater down, and we moved over there and had services there, and I preached almost the same message. And while I'm preaching on the devil, he's trying to kill my baby. Y'all pay attention. This is why I believe this. It's because I've lived it. And so when the baby was born that afternoon, Sunday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I noticed her fingernails looked a little pink, a little purple. And I thought, well, I wonder what that is. And the next day I go into the hospital, and the doctor comes in and says, I got bad news. This baby has been born with a major heart condition. Her heart is hooked up backwards. A man of God, preaching the word of God, serving God, obeying God, came to a city with nothing, started the church, and this happens. Would you continue to serve God? What choice do you have? And so when the doctor left the room, but you see, I already knew the devil, and I knew what the problem was. God warned me the devil was trying to kill her, and I didn't heed it. Listen, either you're going to pray through before the problem or pray through after the problem. Which way do you want it? So, when the doctor left the room, I said, Lord, I don't remember ever praying this prayer before. I think God put it in my heart to pray it because he wanted to show me something. I said, Lord, I want you to open up the spirit realm and let me see in the spirit realm. What is going on? And all of a sudden, I saw a funnel cloud of demons coming down on that baby to kill that baby to get even with me for preaching that sermon against him on Sunday morning. And the devil's real. When I preach this man, he comes after me. He wants to shut me up. He tried to steal my voice in the first service. You may be thinking, this is totally nuts. No, you live in a difficult world. Look around. Look at all the evil people. Stealing, killing, raping, murder. What's that all about? This is the devil is ruling over this world through demonized people. Somebody say amen. I saw this funnel cloud coming down to kill that baby. The funnel cloud of demons coming down that baby, kill that baby. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to stop. And that thing just locked in place like that, but it was still there. And I told Dottie, I got to go out to the car and get my Bible and get a word from God. And she was crying, and I said, stop crying. A man of compassion. I said, stop crying because God's going to fix this. And she stopped crying. And I go out to the car and grab my Bible. I am so upset. I can barely find the Bible, in my briefcase or what, let alone find a scripture. And I just flip it open. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, whoever says of this mountain, be lifted up and thrown in the sea and does not doubt it all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it'll be done for him. I says, you heart condition, I cast you down. In the name of Jesus, I cast you in the sea right now. And I felt it go down. And then the next verse says, what things soever, this is King James, and what things soever desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I said, Lord, I desire this. I believe I receive it right now. And anointing came on me, and I had that faith. I believe I receive it right now, and I saw the baby health and well in my arms. And today she's in her 40s. Don't tell her I told you. She's in her 40s. She has three healthy babies, and they're in California right now on vacation at Disneyland. Well, partly his work, but partly vacation. They've been sending us these wonderful pictures. Amen. Listen, the devil wanted to kill her. Now, you can laugh at this and say, well, this preacher lost his marbles. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but when I get attacked, I'm smart enough to know what it is. You say, amen. And I know I have authority, and I probably wouldn't have finished the first sermon this morning if I hadn't known my authority. You have the same authority. You think I have some special anointing because I'm bald-headed? Maybe. No, we all have the same Holy Spirit, the same authority. Don't help me preach, though, okay? Oh, Lord. People said, do you wish you had hair? Well, no, I wouldn't have anything to joke about if I had hair. But y'all get the point? This thing is real. This spiritual warfare is real. And Don and I started this church from absolute zero. The devil's tried to kill us. And the second year that baby's born with a major heart condition, it's just been one thing after another. And somehow God has just always helped us escape it. You know, in these movies, they like to show an escape. You know, like Tom Cruise or somebody, they're taking off an airplane. There's an explosion goes off behind them. They take off and the smoke and the fire goes past them, but yet they zoom right through it. You know, and that's the way it seems to be with me and Dottie. We just zoom right through all kind of obstacles, every kind of thing you can think of. The devil's trying in every way to destroy us. But in spite of everything, this property probably is worth about $20 million. God has blessed us financially. We've raised in the last 9 fundraisers. If we get even close to this goal, we'll be way over $800,000. God is just blessed. No matter what happens, God just keeps blessing, keeps working his miracles. And Dottie and I sacrificed everything for this church. We kept putting everything back into it. People say, well, you need to start saving for retirement. I'm not going to retire, so that's not a problem. You can pray all you want to. I'm still not going to retire. And so what are you going to do if you do retire? Somebody gave us a house in 2017 to today's praise for $1.5 million. Don't tell me God doesn't take care of his people. Now, that don't mean I have money. Matter of fact, I think probably less money now than I have because it takes so much money to live in that house. I mean, it's unbelievable what it costs. Thanks God, a swimming pool. I don't even swim. I don't like water. Except to drink it. Dottie loves to swim. It's on a Fox Den golf course. One of the beautiful golf courses in America. I don't like golf. I don't have time to go golfing. I just put down all the golfers. Have fun, but I'm not going to join you. But the point is, God has protected us, worked miracles, healed our children. done all these great things for us. And now if I want to retire, all I got to do is talk Dot into selling her house. That probably is not going to be easy. She never had a nice house. The house we were in, okay. I'm a country boy. I'm happy about anything. But, boy, she loves this house. Listen, God will take care of you. He'll protect you. I'm getting older. One of these days, I'm going to be leaving here. And then y'all can rejoice and have fun. But I don't plan on leaving a day early. I don't intend to let the devil shorten my life, is what I meant, even by one day. What about you? You got your mind made up, you're going to serve God until you've done everything God's called you to do, right down to the letter. And if I had retired several years ago when I could have, I wouldn't be able to preach this message to you today. Okay. This is an important message. Somebody say amen. Let me pray. I don't have time to finish it. Now listen to this. Let me believe that St. Paul was a great man of God. Now look. Acts chapter 28 verse 3. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. Now the devil just had tried to kill him and everybody on the ship. The ship wrecked. And they were able to get out of the water in a storm by floating on pieces of wood that broke off the ship. And when they got through that, Paul was building a fire. They were going to roast marshmallows. It's in the Greek. You have to really read the Greek, know the Greek. He's going to roast marshmallows. And a snake came out of the fire and bit him. One of the greatest men of God who ever lived. He just escaped from a storm and a shipwreck. Are y'all paying attention? And the devil tried to kill him with a snake. Now listen. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, one of the most poisonous snakes known to man, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Well, the devil attacks you. You need to learn, say, in the name of Jesus, I just shake this thing off. In the name of Jesus, cast it right back down into the fire. Can you say amen? Amen. Most of us would have died on the spot of a heart attack. Amen. And most of us would have not had the faith to survive that snake bite. But Paul knew who he was. He was on a mission from God. God had told him, I'm going to take you to Caesar's palace, and you're going to be able to witness to Caesar. And he knew no snake could kill him. Do you have a mission? Has God called you? Is the hand of God on you? Now, when I say mission, I don't mean be a missionary. I don't mean be a preacher. I mean any job God gives you, that's your mission. Somebody say amen. That's your parish where you serve God. If you have a place where you're serving God, then God's not going to let a snake take you out. If you believe God. If you can believe what I'm reading to you today, that you have authority even over serpents. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Of course, that also means demons and devils. And I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. I have authority. I knew I had that authority. That's why I commanded those demons that was in a funnel cloud type situation coming down on that back. I commanded, stop! And they stopped. But I had to build my faith in order to really get the victory. When God gave me that verse, hey, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When God gave me that word, it built my faith. And then I said, I believe God, and the baby was born and I saw her health and well in my arms. And over the years, the devil has attacked her over and over again. Every time I put my feet down, I stand in faith. I said, Lord, I know I saw her health and well, and she's going to be health and well no matter what. The time or two she have issues, and I said, Sabrina, all I know is I saw you health and well, and I'm standing on it, and I won't blink. And each of those kids she had, doctors told her don't have any kids, and she finally got permission to have one, and she had one. And then she wanted two. She got permission to have two. Doctors didn't want to do it. No, but they, so okay, we'll do everything we can to help you. She had two. And then the third, and she didn't ask anybody. But I mean, we dedicate our life totally to come and start this church. You see how the devil tried to destroy us at the very beginning. And I saw those demons. And that's why I can preach this with such authority and confidence. I know they're real. I saw them. And I've seen them. The first night, as I said, before I preached the first sermon on this series, the devil showed up right in my living room. I mean, he was face to face. My hair was standing up all over my body. Well, I mean, I got hair, but not up here. Okay. He's real. And I took authority. I said, get out of here. And he left. You don't have, I know you don't have to believe that, but you may want to try it.